talking about grace. For your grace still amazes me. This morning we're going to talk about unfair grace. We don't like it when things are unfair. If you ever pay with money, a lot of us don't do that anymore. We carry our cards around. But if you pay with money when you're given the change back, what's the first thing you do, at least what I do? You look over it. Make sure it's fair, right? Make sure somebody didn't cheat you. The same thing goes for when you go to the grocery store. You get the receipt after everything's gone through, and if you haven't been watching, sometimes the computer made a mistake. Sometimes something wasn't the same, and we like things to be fair. This happens to me sometimes, and I look at the receipt, and I go, oh, that was supposed to be on sale. And then what do? Well, I go to customer service, and I say, this is unfair. You've charged me more than you were supposed to. But why do I do that? If it was less than what I was expecting, do I go to the customer service and say, I need to pay you more? No. We only think it's unfair when it's to our disadvantage. One time that happened to me, and I went to the grocery store, and something was wrong in the receipt, so I go to customer service, and I say, this was the wrong price, and they checked on it. And it was. It had been marked the wrong price. And so they handed me back $5 when it was only a dollar off. And I said, this isn't right. I'm not supposed to get $5 back. I only wanted a dollar. They said, well, we have a policy here that if something is mispriced, and this was, we give you back more than what it was supposed to be. Then I was fine. I was fine with that, even though it was still unfair to them rather than to me. We're going to look at a parable this morning, and I talked about a little bit about it last week. Turn in your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 20, if you have your Bible this morning in digital version, or your hard copy of God's Word, to Matthew chapter 20. The text we're going to be looking at is the parable of the laborers in the vineyard, but it's actually in response to a question Peter asked the chapter before. In Matthew chapter 19, verse 27, Peter is asking this question to Jesus. He says, see, Jesus, we have left everything and followed you. What then will we have? Jesus, we've given everything for you. What do we get back in return? Is basically the Roger Stewart version of that. What are we going to get? What do we deserve? Because we have left everything for you. And then Jesus tells this parable, Matthew chapter 20, verse 1. For the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And going out about the third hour, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And to them he said, you go into the vineyard too, and whatever is right I will give you. So they went. Going out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour, he did the same. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing. And he said to them, why do you stand here idle all day? They said to him, because no one has hired us. He said to them, you go into the vineyard too. And when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last up to the first. And when those hired about the 11th hour came, each of them received a denarius. Now when those hired first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received a denarius. And on receiving it, they grumbled at the master of the house, saying, these last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who has borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat. But he replied to one of them, friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last worker as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or do you begrudge my generosity? So the last will be first, and the first will be last. Jesus begins to tell this parable, and he says, the kingdom of heaven is like a parable, as we talked about last week, is an earthly story with spiritual implications. It's an earthly story that could have very well happened in Jesus' day and time, and it relates back to Peter's question that was asked. This was a pretty common thing in those days for there to be vineyards. They would grow grapes, and when the grapes were ripe, they needed to be picked. And they would have large vineyards, and they would need multiple people to come in and pick them. They didn't want the grapes to sit there too long, or they would get too sweet to make wine with, or they would start to spoil. And so they needed workers to come in quickly to harvest these grapes. The master of the house makes his way to the marketplace. The marketplace was a common thing, and it was put into cities as Herod rebuilt them. And it was a place where people could meet and talk. Several conversations in the New Testament happen in the marketplace area. Paul goes and is preaching in the marketplace and others. And so the marketplace is an open space in the city where they would set up areas to sell things, sell their things that they need to sell in order to make money and have conversations. And sometimes business would take place in these marketplaces. And so it was a common place where someone would go and find workers. So the master of the house goes at 6 a.m. and he finds some workers. 6 a.m. he comes and he says, "I promise to give you a denarius for a day's labor." Now, just to give you a picture, this is a denarius. A day's wage, minimum wage today, is $7.25. So to kind of put this in perspective, we're talking about a 12-hour work day for these people. 12 hours of work at $7.25 is $87. He agrees at 6 a.m, "I'll pay you what's fair. I'll pay you minimum wage to come and harvest my grapes." It's $87. "I will pay you $87 to pick these grapes for 12 hours. And they agree, "This is fair. We will go do this." The master of the house, it says, come back at the third hour, which would be 9 a.m. And he promises the laborers, "I will give you what is fair as well." A price is not discussed at that point. Later in the day, at noon, he comes back again and promises to pay what is fair, and several more go with him. Still at 3 o'clock, he comes back again, 3 in the afternoon, and says, "I still need some more workers. Anybody here willing?" A few guys more go with him. He comes back at 5 o'clock, only an hour to go left in the workday, and he says, "I'll pay you what's fair. I still need more help." Several more go. At the end of the day, he tells his foreman, "It's time to pay. So start with the last people I hired at 5 o'clock, and have them come." And he pays them, and he gives them each a denarius, $87 for an hour's worth of work. That's a pretty good wage. And I'm sure the next ones come, and they've been working for 3 hours since 3 p.m., and he gives them a denarius, $87. Wow, that's pretty good for a day's worth of work. And then the next come, they've been working 6 hours and 9 hours. He pays them all the same. Finally, those he hired at 6 a.m., they've been there all day. They've been working through the heat of the day. I'm sure they're just sweaty and gross, and they're like, "Oh, man. This guy's been so generous to everybody else," and he gives them a denarius. What starts to happen probably looks something like this. "It's not fair," they began to grumble. "It's unfair what the master is doing. He shouldn't be doing this. We've been working all day." I want to focus in a little bit on the master's response. It starts in verse 13. "But the master replied to one of them, 'Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last worker as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or do you begrudge my generosity?'" The master of the house is God. The workers are God's chosen servants that God calls to come and do his labor. The offer is the same for all, his grace. It's the same payment that he gives to all, and it's the same amount. Anyone who would work for him can receive his grace, but he is allowed to give away his grace to whomever he chooses because it is his grace to give. Again, he answers Peter's question. Peter asks, "What do we get? We've left everything for you. What do we get? What are you giving to us?" What does Jesus answer? All the workers are going to receive the same thing. You're going to receive grace. And it's going to be a big enough payment that'll cover you if you've worked all day long. If you've worked for Jesus your whole life, it's a big enough payment. If you've worked for Jesus for 5 minutes, it's a big enough payment. God's grace is the same for all that will trust in him. So how long have you been receiving God's grace? When did you accept Jesus? For me, it was when I was 4 years old. I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. But for others, I think of the man on the cross next to Jesus. This passage is Luke 23, verse 39. One of the criminals who were hanging railed at him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? We indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." And the thief on the cross said to Jesus, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Man that's on his deathbed is receiving the same grace as somebody who's been serving God for 34 years now. Why? Because God's grace, his amazing grace, is sufficient. What's unfair is God gives grace to us at all. What is unfair is that Jesus was sent and died to pay the penalty for my sin, for our sin. What's unfair is that he had to die so that I could live. Paul writes this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, "For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin." Talking about Jesus Christ there. Not unfair to us, but unfair to him. Because he had to take on the sin of all those who would follow him. So that in him, so that in Jesus, we might become the righteousness of God. That is God's amazing grace. As we come into a time of remembering the sacrifice that Jesus offered, thank God for the amazing grace that is possible because of all that Jesus did for us through his life, death, burial, and resurrection. I'm going to ask the deacons to come forward now, if you would, as I pray. Father, we thank you for your amazing grace. We thank you for what seems quite unfair, for what you gave so that we could have eternal life, so that we could have the gift that you provided for us. God, I thank you for your sacrifice, your payment on the cross. Father, help us remember that sacrifice as we come into this time of communion this morning. pray this in Jesus' name.